you tried to help, but somebody missed it. Her parents missed it. You know, God just, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. I mean, it's just, you know, black and white. And that's our job, is try to reach as many as we can through the gospel, through our pastors, you know, through the our teachers. And this is why he said, this is the body I'm talking about. Let's go. Isn't that sad?
Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Oh, we all did. You know, we got our first Bible. You know, my first Bible was a little bitty Red Testament. I don't know if y'all seen them. It had the Psalms and that in it. It was my dad's. He had over overseas. That's, you know, first one I ever had. Still got it wrapped up in plastic. But that's what I'm saying. You know, with the body, he has perfected with what he has given us through the apostles and evangelists and teachers is for the perfecting of us, for them to give us their very best of understanding what God gave them, and that it being saints, it says we're set aside, you know, we're sanctified. And that's what the Bible teaches. We are different people. We are separate from the world because of what Jesus Christ did. And our job is to go try to win those people and try to win them to the side, you know, of Jesus Christ. So, but through that, and God knows what we do. And I'm going to get a little bit on something here in a minute that might be disturbing, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Look at verse 13. It says, let me go back just a minute, for the perfecting of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what he puts the body for. That's why he puts people in different positions. That's why he gives gifts to everyone. And verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of one faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. We'll never be perfect. We're sinners saved by grace. But when we know the one that is perfect, and with that, it makes us perfect. Not that we go around saying, you know, I can do anything, you know, I'm heaven, you know. It just says that the perfect one saved us, gave us his blood, and that covered all of our sins and made us clear. God can't see but the blood. You're under the blood, you're perfect. Yes, ma'am.
In my Bible, the word perfect, David Jeremiah says, perfect means mature or becoming what one was intended to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you can get into what Paul was talking about, the milk of the word. How when you first become a Christian, you know, it says you're like, you're on the milk of the word. And we need good teachers. We need good pastors to take those young Christians and feed them on the milk to start out. A good Sunday school teacher, say we've got three or four people that just got saved. That should be a class set aside that they start understanding the very beginning, you know, the four gospels. Just give them the milk of the word. You don't get into this other deep stuff because a lot of times it runs them out. And he said that, and then as you grow, you get on the meat of the word. The meat of the word is what God really wants out of us and how we should live and what he expects. And with that, we can kind of face the devil with stuff if we're on the meat of the word. Thus saith the Lord. You know, we're on the meat of the word. He can't make us fall if we're using God's word. And it's just like a baby. You know, that's been, you know, an example. A baby's born, you know, it can't eat steak. It can't have nothing like it. It has to have the milk. And with the milk, it starts growing. And then after, I don't know, 6-7 months, little teeth come in. They start getting little baby food. And then parents start tearing off a little piece of meat or, you know, something. And now they're feeding them some meat, and they're getting strong. And that's just what he's talking about. That's, you know, the example I see that we, as a church, should be taking these new people coming in. The new ones that's just joining the church, we should love them to death in this church and say, you know, we're so glad you came, and we're here to help you. And that's what, that edifies the body. That's what makes the kingdom grow, is by what we do. If we shook hands, you know, glad to have you, and never bother with them, never invite them to do something, never give them a job. You know, give them something to do. Nothing big, but that's how people grow. That's how your church grows. And, you know, and we've done that. We've done that. But let me go on. Where was I at? Okay, in verse 14. What we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of the men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How many of y'all been watching a program, an evangelist up there, and he's preaching, and it just don't seem right? What he's saying just might be kind of twisted to make it work for him. That's what he's talking about. When you're on the meat of the word, when you're growing, you just don't get tossed around by any doctrine. You know, because you've had a good pastor, you've had good teachers to help you get to that place where you're being perfected. And he said, by the perfecting of the saints. And so by that, and there's many of those charlatans out there, you know, that twist it around to make it work for them. All right, in verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual workings in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When we are obedient to God's word, when we are listening to what God tells us to do, when he speaks to your heart that he wants you to do a certain job, it's for a purpose. And that tells us right there. And then the body starts fitting together. People start coming together. The church starts growing. People get saved. You know, that's the way it works. And we think, well, you know, it's so hard to get a church, you know, and we get down and something happens and, you know, the Lord ain't blessing anymore. The Lord's ready to bless any time that we're ready for him. When we're doing his will, he starts blessing. People are coming and joining the church. We really hadn't gone out. You know, we used to have the outreach. Man, we went to over, I think it was over 6,000 homes when we went to, started outreach here. Joe, you was part of it, wasn't you? Yeah, that's it. We've had doors shut in our face. People, yeah. We've had some, haven't we? Doors shut in our face. People don't want to hear it. But we went to doors and doors, and we seen a little, you know, a little something from it. People came. But now people are coming, and we're not going out knocking on doors. But what we're doing, I think our church is starting to come together in love and in unity and wanting to build this church back in that love and just watch it grow. Let God give the increase to everything we do. And people will start coming in the door. I don't know what ages. I know what ages we need, but they're not coming in yet. But if we can get some CJs and Amanda's age, and you know what I'm talking about, we can get them. That's that gap we've got. But God knows about it. He's sending the right people. People come and join this church, and they want to help. And like Ed and Mary Ann, you know, they loved Vacation Bible School. They was coming at night and, you know, wanting to help. But that's what God sends us when we're willing to do what he'd have us to do. Okay, I made that comment about God has made sure all necessary gifts have been distributed. He has given, every church has enough Sunday school teachers. We have enough deacons. We have enough organizers. Y'all ladies are so wonderful how y'all organize things. And you know, us guys, we don't do a very good job on that. But y'all know how to put it together and how to come, you know, to people. But he said, you got enough of those. You got plenty of them. He said, you've got everything. You even got toilet scrubbers. You got people that will go fix a sink. Got people that take care of electrical problems, floods in the bottom. He said, you got all these people. But he says, and then why are those positions filled? Didn't say they were filled. I said, we had them. It's just that people with gifts are not willing. They're not willing to fill that position. And you know, God's looking at that. He wants, if he puts something on your heart, we need to do it. And it might be something that I ain't never done that before. I would step up, you know, and take charge or just be part of it. Not willing to. The other thing, people's afraid. Get up, you know, speak. Afraid to go out and witness. Go out and be with the crowd. I'll give you for an instance on our outreach. I'm getting way out of shape, y'all. I don't know if I'll finish this. I hope y'all don't mind. But when we had outreach, I took Robert Manning with me. Robert was great. Robert was funny. And he said, Brother Jack, I don't know how to do this. I've never been outside and knocked on a door, tell anybody about Jesus. I said, just go with me. You know, just listen to me. Just be with me. And just shake your hand when we go to leave. You don't have to say anything, you know. And that went on for two or three times till him and I was going together, and we'd stop, and he was beating me out of the car, going up to the door. Hey, I'm Robert Manning from Calvary Baptist Church, and we just want to, you know, invite you to church. And do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? It lit me up like a firecracker, buddy, because he was so timid. I mean, he just didn't talk. And that's why jobs are not being, you know, fulfilled. They're afraid to. Afraid that their time, now this is a good one, afraid that their time will be eaten up if they give to the church. That's sad. That's sad. Our time, and I know we have our own time. We like to go off, you know, and vacation and fish and all that. But when God gives us a job to do and we accept that job, then we need to give him our time on that job. It shouldn't be a burden to us. We should be, you know, enjoying the time. But it says that sometimes we'll be just, you know, afraid that I'm going to spend too much time at church. Yeah, you know, I want to do this, but God, I got to go on Wednesday night and stuff like that. That's the positions. Just sitting in here is a position. God brought you here on a Wednesday night just to be here. Maybe not to hear this message, maybe Brother Justin, but, you know, he asked me to do this. But that's, you know, three of the reasons. The fourth one is not capable of using their gifts. People have gifts that maybe their help is hurting them. You know, they can't go out and do what they feel like the Lord wants them to. And they're hurting and the rest of the body of Christ by not using them. But, and that's understandable. Like I say, and a lot of times God will give us a gift. And if we don't use it, God will take it away and give it to somebody who will use it. Say, yeah, you know, Jack ain't doing that. I'm going to pass it to Jackie and see if she'll take care of it. But the next thing I wanted to talk about is turn to 1 Corinthians chapter, well, we're already there, 1 Corinthians 12:6. And I want to tell you this with confidence and for you to really feel this. You are important. I don't care what you do in this church. I don't care who you around. You are important. To God, everything we do to Him is important. I've said many times, I don't feel like there's no one better than me. And I don't feel like I'm better than anybody else. Now, people are better off than me. But I don't think anybody's better than me, because I've got Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've got what, you know, some people are striving for. We've got it. So I look at that way. So 1 Corinthians 12:6. No, hold on. I forgot to turn the page. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We're all special. There's different gifts, there's different operations of how the gifts work, but they're all important. Everything we do. Don locking up tonight, that's important. You know, I do it on Wednesday nights. It's important because it keeps safety. We don't know what's going to go through that door. We knew that last time I stood up here, didn't we? Yeah. Thank you, David. Yeah. David and Bobby, buddy. Didn't know that was going to happen. But that's why I say everything we do is important. If we do it for His honor and His glory, it's important for us. I wrote a comment. The diversities are the talents and the gifts that have been given by God. We have been given uniqueness by the Lord. Every single person has been given something that is designed by God. You know, that's special. We are special people. And like I said, we can just go back to that, you know, what you feel in your heart to do. And God gives you that. But it's special. It ain't, you know, it ain't nothing like. God doesn't take anything lightly. He gives you a job, you know. He wants you to do it. He expects you to do it. But He loves you, you know, to do it. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:22-24. My phone quit. Somebody help me keep up with the time. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:22-24. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. He's just saying, again, you know, it's so we are important. What Barbara Ann does, and I go back to Barbara Ann, they know what she's going through down there. We know what she's going through. But when you go to her, she's witnessing to people down there. She's praising God, even when she don't feel like praising God. And to me, that's a person that is so important to God, because she is doing exactly what He wants her to. And like I said, her time on this earth and what she struggled through, and I told her, I said, read Romans 8:28. All the things we go through on this earth, the backaches, the cancer, everything doesn't compare to what's up here, to what He has for us. And today, Jackie and I was listening to a guy, and it was just awesome to hear what he said about how that when we go to heaven, it's not going to just be relatives that's going to come around us, you know, and greet us and all. It's going to be people that some way you had an effect on their lives down here on earth, and they got saved. They're going to come looking for you, and they're going to say, thank you, you know, for showing me. Thank you for telling my mom, and then my mom showing us. Excuse me. And through the grandkids. It's going to be that way. It's going to be such a reunion. And that's, again, the body of Christ coming together. With that said, I had a comment. If you don't know your job, there's a weakness in the body of Christ. For if we don't feel our function, the body will be weaker. If with a gift that we got and we don't use it, and we don't fulfill what he wants us to do. If you're here at Calvary Baptist Church, he wants you here at Calvary Baptist Church. I mean, if he hadn't told you to get up and move to Arizona, you know, then your job is right here at what we do. Whatever it is, in the choir, you know, everybody in that choir is special. And most of the guys can't sing, but, you know, the women sound good, but we're up there for a reason. Well, every once in a while, maybe get out something. But you know, and that, you know, but if the guys just said, you know, I don't sing that good, I'm not gonna get up there, and then that leaves a gap. And then when we go to a singing, it looks bad. You know, when we got a job to do, our job, and there's a weakness in it, just because, nah, I don't want to do it no more. My voice, you know, they don't sound good. But whatever it is, if it's a greeter at the door of this church, and you say, well, my job ain't that important. I'll just stay out Sunday, or they won't miss me and all. That's weakness. And he said, when we do that, the body of Christ, for if we don't feel our function, the body will be weaker. And that's each and every one of us. It says, the members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. When the body is weak, you know, we need to be there to pick them up. We need to be there to help them. You know, come on, you can do it. You know, just hang in there. Be what God wants you to be. Do what you have, you know, the Lord's asked you to do. And it says, and the body are less honorable. We should honor them in what they do. We should give praise to everybody in what we do, you know. Cheryl, I get talks from Miss Joyce about what Cheryl does, and I'm not embarrassing you or nothing, but she talks so highly about it. She's there to take her everywhere she goes. And I know other, you know, we all do something like that. But that's what he's talking about, you know. When the weak, you know, we honor them, we pick them up, we help them get back where they need to be. It says God is the great architect. There are no flaws in the body of Christ except for the lack of obedience in us. That's a pretty heavy line right there. God is the great architect. He designed everything about us, about his church. That's what I mean, the whole body. That there's no flaws in the body of Christ. We've got flaws. Oh, my goodness, I don't even get started with me. But we all have flaws, but the body of Christ has no flaws. And for the lack of obedience is where the flaws come in. If we don't obey, we're letting Christ down, we're letting our church down, we're letting our brothers and sisters down. What book this was? I think it's 1 Corinthians 25:26. We're going to go through this thing. That there should be no schisms in the body, for that the members should have the same care one for another. What's a schism? Anybody know what's a schism? I think a flaw. Nothing, you know. They said there should be no schisms. Huh? Yeah, that's it. But in that body, that the members should have the same care one for another. With this and what was being said, you know, I hope we take this next year. Ooh, I got more than what I thought I had. And that we seriously take our job serious, do what Christ tells us to, for His honor and His glory, nothing for us, you know. We our rewards are what we're sending up. God keeps good records, everything we do. Okay, I'm going to give you some samples. One of them I'll use for me. What if I decided we're not good enough to carry the burden of seeing and quit working? What if the church did that? What if the pastor, you know, just says, I'm not gonna preach anymore. I'm just leaving. Or if your legs quit working, each part of our body has a purpose to make it work, and that's the same for the church. It takes two hands, you know, to work, to hold. I mean, you can hold one, but we can grasp the two, your eyes. And I'm going to say something about my eyes, but I'll get through that in a minute, though. All right, let's turn to Luke 6:38. But every part, you know, we have to have, this body has to work with what I've got, my eyes, ears, nose, my walking, everything. Well, that's what the body of Christ is. It all comes together. It's all important to Him. Luke 6:38. I lost it. Okay. I'm going to say this first. Give yourself, and you will be amazed at how you will be blessed. Give of yourself. In this verse, Luke 6:38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. You can't outgive God on blessings. Whatever we do, and we're trying to be a blessing to people. Usually when we go out to hospitals or something, we want to go be a blessing to people, and we get blessed being with them. Because they're just so glad to see us, and you know, they just want to say what God's doing for them and how they're doing. It's just a blessing. You know, and they say, you know, we appreciate it so much, you being here. We cannot outgive God. The blessings keep coming. And it says, if we give of ourselves, it says we'll be amazed how we'll be blessed. If we can do that, I think a church will grow. I think it will be blessed that people will come in and people will get saved. I think a lot of time people come into churches and everybody's heart's not right. Now, I'm not talking about everybody, but you know what I mean? There's some divisions going on. There's some bad feelings going on. Well, that don't need to be in church. That all need to be taken at the altar, taken, you know, care at the altar. But say a person comes in and feeling like, you know, say he's looking for Christ. And the message is given, but the Holy Spirit can't have that freedom to flow like it wants to because of division, because backbiting, talking, back, just think, won't go to somebody who they feel done them wrong. You know, all that keeps the Spirit from blessing the church. And with that said, you know, we as a church, I think, for this next year, we should examine our own selves. You know, before we have a communion, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. And said, you might do this unworthily. You might get sick if you got something against your brother, and you know, and you don't go to him and get it straightened out. He said, you know, come with a pure heart when you, you know, for the communion. But that we should do that all the time anyway. You know, we should try to keep things right between us, and with that, it keeps things right between us and God. Okay, we're going to go to 27:28 of 1 Corinthians. I should have read all that and been all right. 1 Corinthians 12:27-28. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. He's just saying that this scripture tells us that God is the one who has picked jobs for members of the body of Christ and listed some of the jobs and talents that assist in the jobs. It's about what we said a while ago. The gifts that's given out, gifts of help. You know, I heard Snyder say that, and I said, well, maybe I got the gifts of help. I want to help people, you know. I want to serve in that way. And I think we all do. But there's so many gifts. And then it says, you know, the gifts of healing. I don't believe in the healing that we see on TV where a man takes off his coat and he swings around and everybody falls slain in the spirit. And then everybody's cured of cancer and they all get up and walk away and have a good time. I believe healing comes. He said, if you seek healing, he said, you go to the elders of the church and you ask them to anoint you with oil and pray over you. And with that, you can be healed. And if people would take that scripture, you know, and take it and say, you said if I did that, that I'd be healed. And believe it in your heart. Now, how he heals us is not for us always to know. Sometimes it's healed for eternity, you know, but healed. But this is what he's talking about, you know, the body of Christ. And then he lists some of the jobs and talents that assist in that job. Okay, back to 26. It says the comment, God has set each member in its own place. A place for me, a place for you. Every part is necessary. Not a part is too small or unimportant. Like I said, from mopping water down here in the bottom to the pastor, all jobs are important. Because we're doing it for his honor and his glory, not for us. Nothing that we're trying to gain. It's all for him. It's for his church. It's for the kingdom. And it's for edifying Christ. Okay, let me see. It says, ask the Lord to show you your gift, then ask him to use you. You know, we all do that. We say, Lord, you know, what is it I can do to help Calvary Baptist Church? What? I don't want to sit idle. You know, it might say, Brother Jack, Lord put it on my heart for me to take over and do the signs. Do you mind? Nah, not at all. If the Lord puts it on your heart, then do it. If it's to trim the roses, I know I was going to sing that in.
The way you slipped that in there.
I get thorned every time we go in there to do the sign. But no, but I'm saying, I'm bad. But that job is important because God put it on her heart to do. I'm not picking on you, Cheryl. Now I done got red faced. But, you know, what goes on at the children's home, all that work, those kids and all, you know, for God puts it on your heart to take a child and just take them out to eat one evening, you know, a lot of them don't get to go anywhere, don't, you know, have anything. But if he gives you, you know, that desire, puts it on your heart, go do it. And you'll see the wonders, the blessing that you receive, the blessing that they'll receive, how it builds the church, how we all come together and build on love for him, and that he'll bless his church. And I don't know what's going to happen next year. Don't have any idea. I think it's going to be a rough year. But I believe that if we do exactly, I told Brother Justin this, he might be listening. I said, Brother, two things happened in this church. You preach the word. You stay in the word and preach it just like God gives it to you. And then for us to take what you told us and go out and use it to help families, to help our loved ones and friends, help our co-workers, whatever it is. Go out here when something happens in Powder Springs, downtown. Go set up a booth. You don't have to pressure anybody and drag them in. You're going to hell, and you know what I mean? But you give them some tracks. You might find a person that says, "Go, did y'all meet the lady that come in the church last week, or that said that somebody met her in the parking lot? She was leaving, and the lady was coming out, and she had a mask on because she'd been sick with pneumonia. A lady walked up and says, are you okay? And she said, well, I've been sick. She said, can I pray with you? And she said, yeah. They prayed right there in the parking lot. That lady come to church because she just moved here and she looked for a church. That lady was Sharon Hodges. And that's what it takes. And I'm not raising her up. I'm just saying any of us. If the Lord puts it on your heart to walk up to somebody and says, you know, the Lord told me to pray for you, or, you know, just anything, it's right. God's in it. God wants it done. So, okay, the last part here now. You are not a mistake. Let's go 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 6. Go back to that. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 6. Okay. And we've already read that. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diverse differences of administration, but the same Lord. He's saying that things are different. People are giving stuff different. He said, but whatever you do is not a mistake. Whatever it is. Just like Sharon Hodges meeting that lady, never knew her, and said, can I pray for you? And it touched that lady's heart. Now she's coming to church. Who knows? She might join. She might bring her family. Who knows? But being obedient to God, this is why the blessings start coming, and it'll come to this church. And we all are capable of this. And that, I says, there are many different talents and gifts that people have. There are differences between the gifts of people who appear to have the same gift. Like we say, the gift of giving, the gift of caring. But you might do it a little bit different than I do. Or, you know, I might be doing it a little bit different than you. But it's the same gift. It's what God gives us, and he expects us to use it. It says, look at your hand. Now, here you go. This is what I was getting to a while ago. Look at your hand. You have digits on your hand. Do they all have the same function? They don't, right? Yeah. You can't hitchhike with your finger. You hitchhike with your thumb, right? If you miss one, you know, it's hard to pick up. It's hard to get used of having one missing. So you'd miss one of them if it was gone. The others would have to take up the slack. You see people whose hands have been blown off, half blown off, and maybe have like three fingers left, they start functioning just like they pick up after a while because they pick up the slack. And that's what he's telling us, you know, that when we see these things that happen, two eyes, here we go, okay. Mine don't do this, but everybody else it probably does. When you look, if you put one hand over your eye, you see this way, you know, and if you keep looking and do it this eye's looking this way. And you can check that out. But when you have them both working, you see exactly what's supposed to be seen. It says two eyes and that you get the whole view of everything. Mine's kind of up and down, but I can still see, you know, if I do this. But that's what he's talking about. These are important. Not just one. One, I'm losing something. I'm losing peripheral, you know. Going down the road driving, I can't see here. But like this, I can see this way. And that's what he says. You know, you're not a mistake. Everything we do is for God, and it's for God's purpose. God sees the big picture, future, through the future and the present. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12:18. Well, and now we're going to read that, and then we're going to be finished. I hope we're still in good graces. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as he hath pleased him. We don't do it to please us. We don't do it to please our pastor. We don't do it to please anybody. If he gives it to us, we'd give it to please him. And then, like I said, the blessings start flowing. God sees the big picture. I said that. It said, but now hath the Lord set the members, every one of them, in the body, as he hath pleased him. This is the sovereignty of God. You're not an island. Your life is not your own. And that's what he's trying to tell us. When we become Christians, we're not our own anymore. We're his. And he sets us in places where he can use us. The only thing that doesn't work is that when he puts in a place and we don't want to be used. And that hurts the church. The church is weakened. We're weakened. It's very important. When we're sitting in the choir and somebody's out, just out of their space, you know, Joe and Lynn, when they're on vacation that month, I missed them. I knew what they were supposed to be doing. I knew they were sitting out there, you know, or they're up in the choir. Everybody, you know, has a place. And your life's not your own when you become a Christian. Well, that's all I got, y'all. I hope it was long enough for Brother Justin. And I won't hear nothing bad about it. And Cheryl, I didn't. Please, don't do that. I wouldn't do that for, you know, any reason. But I thank y'all for being here. I appreciate y'all. I love to get up here and do this every once in a while. I don't do much, but when I get a chance, I like to get up here and do it. And if y'all would just stand and be dismissed.
Brother Jack, I meant to mention a little while ago.
Go ahead, Dad, brother.
I have a new grandson who was born on Monday.
Yeah.
But him and her are not, you know, they're not together. They're like, we thought that they was going to be born the next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. Only God knows. Yeah, well, we need to, when prayers are asked, like, you know, your family, we need to do that. God might just show us something Sunday. If we're obedient, just like you said, we're the body. We're all, when Joe has a problem, we all have a problem. When any of us, when, you know, when somebody asks for prayer, we need to pray. When somebody's sick, we need to help go to them. Was you going to say something, Miss Nancy?
Yes, sir.
Y'all
his mom, but I get him during the week taking the gym. And he's getting more and more inquisitive. You know, when we pull up and we let him out, if he wants to talk about the Lord, then we're going to talk about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just pray that it just keeps touching his heart. His other granddad in Tennessee, while Hunter's up there with him, he's been going to church with him, which is, you know, not strange, but in a good way that he's up there hearing the word, and he sees and knows how we are. He knows where we are on Sundays. He knows where we are on Wednesdays. And when he starts bringing stuff up, then I'm attentive. I listen. I try and answer his questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just pray that the Lord keeps working on his heart.
Yeah.
Because he's a good little fella. He's got a heart of gold. And the Lord just keeps working on him until what happens.
That's right.
To him, where this will take him.
That's right. That's right. See, that's the body coming together. We all pray for them, lifting one another up. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to stand up here and do a mediocre job, Father, but we feel like the message that we want to bring that this next year that would be more as a body of Christ, loving one another, being the member that you put us here to be, not just a member of the church, but a member of a gift, teacher, whatever you call us to do, let us do it and watch your honor and your glory and watch the edifying of the church and the growing of the church. Father, you've heard all these prayer requests, and we're just going to lift them up to you, Father. Many sick, Father, we're just going to lift them up to you. You know what they need, Father. Just give them assurance. Let them have that calmness in their heart. And what Joe was talking about and what David was talking about, family. Help us, Father, as being family here in our church, to help pray for our families out there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.